It's my great pleasure and joy. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. If you were not with us last week, I introduced a theme. I hate to call it a theme because it is the theme. It's called The Gospel. And I've been wanting to do this for quite a while. Again, last week I ended one long, long series, and today I'm going to start another that may last for months. We'll see how the Lord leads us. I'm going to be in no hurry, never am, as you know. But I love this. I'm not going to say this message because really I feel like here we share the gospel every week. But it helps us to recenter. No matter what you do, work, hobby, relationships. How many know that every once in a while you just have to push a reset button? Jesus, speaking to the churches, said, I have a problem with one of you. How many can identify which one? That you've forgotten your first love. He was telling them, it's time for you to hit the reset button and go back to what this is really all about. The book of Galatians, Paul almost violently hits a reset button. I heard Joseph Prince say back a number of years ago, he said, I've noticed that no other area in my walk with God. Now, this is a guy that has a church of 30,000 plus in Singapore, a man who is very, very, you know, successful in what he does. And you may not agree with everything that he says. Well, I don't either, so don't worry about it. But there's a lot that he said that has set me free, opened up doors in my life. How many know that nobody's perfect except the man, Jesus? And he said something. He said, I find that there's no other area that's challenged more in my life and that seems to slip away quicker than my understanding of the grace and love of God that sustains me on a day-to-day basis. He said, there are other areas I will, you know, things that I preach on, teach about, live, etc., that, you know, in time they might drift if I don't refresh myself. But he said, this issue of the grace of God is challenged more than any other area in my life by the enemy and slips away quickly. And this morning, I want to back up a little bit. If you're here new with us, we want to welcome you. And if you're here with us maybe a second or third time, we want to welcome you once again. And I want to say the same thing, and you'll hear me repeat this maybe every week. We'll see how it goes. But there are going to be a lot of things that I'm going to say over the next several months at least. And I beg of you, don't take one phrase and build a whole lot. How many here last week when we talked about filters? How many in here have been through some things? How many last week maybe recognized for the first time or reminded of something that unless we are walking in the grace of God, those filters, it's a normal reaction. It's a natural response to want to defend ourselves, to want to put up shields, to put up something that protects us. We've been through hurts. We've been through things that we perceived as unanswered prayers. We've been through a lot of different things, and we tend to put up filters. The problem with filters, and I gave a rather comical example of that last week, how arguments can happen between a husband and wife. You know, I don't want to re-preach last week, but all of you know what it is. That is not what I said, honey. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Why? Because in that relationship, we now are hearing things through filters. I can say one thing, and you will hear something completely different, possibly, because you heard it through all that you have experienced in the past, some painful things, and so you heard it through. And you didn't hear what was said. You heard what in a millisecond was interpreted through your filters, whatever they may be. So All of us have those. And I'm here to confess to you today that I still have some filters. I still am surprised. That's why it helps me to hit the reset button and go back to the core of what the gospel is, because every time I do, more filters are discovered. I love what Psalm says, the entrance of His Word. How many are thankful for the light of the gospel? The entrance of His Word brings light. Now that can be uncomfortable. There are some things I'd rather not see. More importantly, there are things that I'd rather He not see until I realize He sees all things. Stop. In reference to me, through the work, you thought I was going somewhere else, didn't you? That's what religion does. That's why we need to hit this every time. You thought I was going somewhere else. He sees all things in reference to me through the Son. How can this be? I don't understand it. I don't know that we ever will. Ephesians 2 says that it is His great joy that for the ages to come, He would make manifest ages. Can you say ages in here today? For ages to come, He would make manifest the glory of His grace. Would you bump your neighbor and say, this is a big deal to God. So it better be a big deal to you this morning. Do you love Jesus today? I love this subject. T.L. Osborne years ago said, I have people all the time that come up and say, Brother T.L., would you pray for me that I have more power in my life? And he says, I tell them, you don't need more power. You don't need me to pray for you to have more power. What you need is more gospel. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1:16. Most of us in here can quote it. I quote it all the time. We see it a lot. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Spirit of God speaking through Paul says, we're quoting here one of my favorite verses. The Spirit of God speaking through Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm very glad for the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it, the gospel, it is the power, it, the gospel, is the power of God unto every kind of deliverance you need or can think of. That's what so-so means. It's not fire insurance, it's salvation. Hell, being saved from hell is a fringe benefit, but the emphasis isn't even there. Salvation has nothing to do with that. It's all about life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John said, we have everlasting life. John said, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the sons of God. That's powerful stuff. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the... It, what? The gospel is the power of God unto your complete ongoing deliverance of everything that impedes your walk with God and the power that God desires to manifest to you, in you, and through you. Can you say amen? That wasn't very good. Can you say amen? The less you respond, the longer I preach, because I feel like I'm not getting through. How many are glad for the gospel this morning? Go to the next verse, if you would, Bill. Verse 17. For therein, can I ask you this morning, wherein? is the righteousness I have a question for you. Could we then deduce from this statement, Spirit of God speaking to a New Covenant church, that the righteousness of God before the gospel had not yet been revealed? Now, we know there are exceptions. The gospel was preached to and others. But these are glimpses into something that was not yet, but would be. How do I know that? Because the Bible said, because Abraham believed God, God considered him. He didn't become righteous. He considered him. It's kind of on credit, kind of what happened with David. Oh, we love the songs of David. An adulterer. A murderer. A liar. Don't look at me like that. When he got real, stopped playing games, presumed upon his God, for he knew him at a young age. Who is this Philistine who defies the armies of God? I know him. He's my rock, my sword, my shield. He's my will in the middle of the wheel. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Psalms 23. The Lord, prophetically, speaking of our Jesus. The Lord is my... David presumed upon the law. He deserved death. And he said, I may die doing this, but I have groveled enough. He stood up, washed off the ashes of mourning and grief and repentance and sorrow, entered in boldly. This is insane. Into the temple and worshiped God. And the Bible reveals that he loved David, for he was a man after his own heart. Obviously, it's not his behavior. But David's simplicity of faith, believing beyond belief that what God said, the one he knew, David knew that God would not reject him. I don't think he'd have done that. How many are glad for Jesus today? David penned, I think, over 83 different supernatural prophecies. This is not part of my message today, but let's do it for fun. David, everybody knows Psalms 23. Have you ever noticed Psalms 22? Look at Psalms 22. Starts out like this. Long before Jesus uttered these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, in the night season I'm not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Jump on down to 6. in line with Isaiah, but I am a worm and no man, reproach of men, despised of people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. These are words that were spoken around the cross. Go ahead, Jesus. You call yourself the Son of God, Savior of the world. Deliver yourself. They mocked him. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him, and let him deliver him, see that he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Then he goes, look at verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. Scripture as well as history tells us that blood and water flowed from his side as a spear was thrust. The true, current medical fact showing signs of a broken heart. Surely, Isaiah said, he has borne our sorrow and carried. Oh, man. They gaped upon me, verse 13, with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion, and poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou hast brought me unto the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Look at 18. You think he might have stepped into the supernatural? Well, he had no idea what he was saying. How many know when we're moving in the Holy Ghost, sometimes we have no idea what's taking place? They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. Every one of these things detailed by a man who should have been put to death according to his deeds, but God honored his repentance and worship. It's amazing. You go to the Hall of Faith, what we call, theologians call the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. You see not one sin cited, not one failure mentioned. And there's a list of imperfect people who God honored because they believed him. It starts out with, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Man, this is, I hope this doesn't go right over your head. Powerful, powerful stuff. Abraham was considered righteous because of what he believed. But you know, it wasn't possible for him to be made righteous, for the sacrifice had not yet been made. How many know that everything changed when the perfect Lamb of God, I love Philippians 2 that says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but set aside his glory, humbled himself, and became a servant, obedient unto death. Through this, now I'm paraphrasing, he received a name, was given a name that is above every name, that is named in heaven and earth and under the earth, and that at that name every knee would bow and every tongue would confess. Woo! Hallelujah! Aren't you glad today for Jesus? Amen. So here's the deal. Abraham was considered righteous, but everything changed when Jesus came. Everything changed Let me back up. It didn't change so much when he came. It changed when the ultimate sacrifice was completed. And the authority of that sacrifice ratified through the resurrection. Paul put it this way, or the Spirit of God through Paul put it this way in Ephesians 1, that it was the exceeding great power of God. It took exceeding. You see that mentioned nowhere else in Scripture in reference to anything else. Why? Because the Bible said God saw all of us together with Him being resurrected unto new life. This wasn't just power for a little healing or a little water to be opened on the Red Sea or all the different miracles. This was the ultimate miracle. God redeeming His own, bringing us back into one-to-one relationship and fellowship with Him. Romans 5, death reigned by one, but for those who receive we're going to get into this stuff big time. For those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, these shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ Himself. Are you reigning? If you're not, you need more gospel. Abraham was considered righteous, but for those who have believed now in the completed work of Jesus Christ, are you here this morning? Those who have believed in the completed work of Jesus are not considered righteous, but according to the Creator Himself. Now, your daddy God. I'm still uncomfortable with that term. I'm growing just like you. But that's what it says. Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption is on the inside of you as a result of believing this. And you are no longer considered righteous, but God, according to His set of books, has made you righteous. Here's the importance: from the inside out. I believe that the reason people struggle with baptism in the Holy Spirit, well, there's a lot of reasons, but I believe when it gets right down to it, you don't understand righteousness. 90% of the people that I've helped receive struggled with guilt, condemnation, unworthiness, a sense of unworthiness. People, I realize there are many other factors, but centrally, it seems to always fall back somewhere, and there are people that struggle with healing or struggle with God's ability to deliver them or to help them or in any way. It's because right in the middle somewhere, religion has pounded this into them. My heart's cry this morning. You know, right now, I believe there are a few things that are more divisive right now, not just in the United States, but in the world right now. Because this gospel has gone around the world and it's created more division. Something that is supposed to set people free has created more division and polarized factions in the church. There are people that right here in this town from Spirit-filled churches who cannot hardly look me in the eye because they believe I'm leading people into error because of my stance on the gospel of grace. I wish that a lot of these people would at least have the intellectual honesty, excuse me while I whine for a moment, would have at least the intellectual honesty to be like Paul and say, there are those that are preaching this way and that way and of contention and of strife, but praise be to God, the gospel at least is being preached. Where's that? It's like some people get so legalistic, they'd rather see somebody go to hell than to be secure in the love of God. Some people are so afraid of once saved, always saved. They'll turn you off the minute they hear anything about eternal redemption. I hate the concept of once saved, always saved, because it denotes an idea, live like hell, it doesn't matter. You know what? If you've truly confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you are born again by righteousness which is of faith, I'm sorry, but your Bible calls that eternal redemption. Your Bible calls it that. I believe that if somebody really understands the love of God and steps into that relationship, this concept of once saved, always saved, this frivolous, trite concept, religious, it's like reverse legalism. Are you here today? Now, there's one of those statements. I'm going to qualify that in time. I, in no way, and you'll see it, in no way do I advocate sinful living. Sinful living is stupid. Sinful living invites death into your life. Your heart belongs to God. But you jump the border and choose to live under the control of another master. Your heart hadn't changed. But you are yielding your members, Paul says, to another master. And we will reap the not sowing and reaping. We covered that, whatever. So I need to back up and not use the word reap because it gives the wrong connotation. We will experience the consequence. Different than sowing and reaping. The consequence of sin. But it won't be from God. For there's a new master over that deal. Our sin was fully put upon Jesus. Nailed together with Him to the cross forever, along with the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 3 once again. For those who say, well, that wasn't the law. That was dietary and the rites of the Jewish tradition. No, excuse me. No, we're going to look at it. Let's be real. But this right here is so divisive. You wondering where it's written that those things were nailed together with Him? Let me just help you real quick. Look at Ephesians. You don't have to look there. Just write it down. Ephesians 2:15. Colossians 2:14. By the way, Colossians 2:15 shows the result of that being nailed together with Him. It says, for He spoiled principalities and powers, ruling over them, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's 15 of Colossians 2. If Colossians 2, you have Ephesians 2:15, Colossians 2:14, those ordinances nailed together with our sin. How many are glad for Jesus today? So as we move through this, now I want to remind you of something. Bill actually made up some very nice cards. And are you enjoying this as much as I am? I hope you are. If you're not sure, I think you will. Hang with me. This will change your life. You know, I've already heard all this great stuff. Then that's a perfect proof that you haven't. When you say it like that. He made up some cards that we'll have available out here in the lobby. Last week I told you that as we do this over the next several months, or how long it takes us, Bill put together an email that is simply questions@cvfamilychurch.com. Now I want to set a couple of rules. I want to make sure we understand. I will not be responding to your emails. So if you email me and demand that I respond to you and then you get mad, it's your fault. I will not be responding to your emails. There'll be no response. I will tell you that every email will be read. Keep your questions, emphasis on questions, not trying to straighten me out. Keep your questions, please, under a paragraph or so. If you send me 3 pages, I'll read a paragraph and move on. Are you with me? But I want to provide this so that I can get a sense of where, because I know that people struggle. I watch people, Gina, I hope you don't mind me being public, your text just, because I remember the day you and your hubby were, you'd been around enough to know that there was something real here, but that was a troubling change when we embarked on this new direction of the gospel. It wasn't new, it was new to us. And how you struggled, your parents, because there's so much fear pounded into every one of us who have been exposed to religion. We are insulated from the word go to fear any. And they'll use the same verses that I'm getting ready to use in Galatians to pound their thinking into you and to fear ever questioning or ever looking at anything different. And we are laden with fear. What if it's wrong? What if this is heresy? What if this will cause me to go to hell? What if this will, just everything starts just, and it is a fearful thing to begin to dare to look. Even look. And that is a demonic ploy. Because the gospel, are you kidding me? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. This was the prophecy. And then, for you and I want you to notice, kick up if you would, Romans 1:17. I want to finish that. Romans 1, are you enjoying this? So anyway, let me back to this. I started preaching and I forgot about what I was doing here. So right here, questions@cvfamilychurch.com. I want to encourage you to use that. Don't get mad when you hear me make a statement like I've seen people do. God has forgiven your sin, past, present, and future. Get up and walk out of here mad and saying, that guy's preaching error. He's encouraging sin. He's giving people license to sin. If all of our future sins are forgiven, then it doesn't matter how we live. How many know that's just not, you're not using your head? Besides that, we got a problem because he died and ratified this once and for all, forever. I'll show it to you in Hebrews 10. 2,000 years ago, he better forgive future sin. You see how demonic religion always seeks to put a damper on you. John put it this way. He said, you shall know the truth, and the knowledge of that truth will set you free. If it doesn't set you free, it's not the pure gospel. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Look at Romans. Well, let's finish this. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from work to work. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just. How many just we got in here today by the blood of Jesus through faith in the Son? Come on, are you in here today? The just shall live by faith. Paul would be dealing with a group of people in a place called Galatia, a church in Turkey, where he'd shared the gospel. But the gospel, his own words, and I realize it's King James. We'll look at a few of those things a little closer. Probably not today. But where he said the gospel had been perverted. It had been blended with something that wasn't right. And he describes a people that it would read like this. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to works. Which had its roots in a system that said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from works to faith. That's the Old Testament. Now we got new covenant believers who are saying, yes, but the gospel was preached to the Jews, so in order to be a true Christian, you have to become a Jew in order to be able to be a Christian. Read it yourself. This is a historical fact. So they were saying, okay, we got it. It's no longer works to faith, but it is, and this is where most of the church is at right now. And I'm telling you that when that kind of error, as subtle as it is, I'm not saying you're not born again. Oh, man, God honors your heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is not complicated. That's why my father-in-law, who was raised in abuse and experienced abuse and became an abuser and was confused and angry, and then when he finally got born again, was wooed by a man who loved him but was in major, major error. He was into shepherdism. Where you hear from God through me, I tell you who to marry, I tell you what car to buy, what house to buy, I tell you when you jump, and you jump, and when you don't, you don't, and this is the way it works. And he, with an innocent, now new heart, in his 50s, delivered from alcohol and cigarettes. I mean, this guy was a foul mouth. My wife heard from the time she was little, you GD little whore, I don't need you. Miss Jackie, teaching kids over right now in the church from the time she was little. A man who was rough and tough. Plumber. All his life. Popeye forearms. Dressed like John Wayne. Boy, he was a challenge for me. I remember one day he cursed in front of me and my new baby, Rebecca, and I don't even know what happened to me. I grabbed that 200-plus pound man. I was a little skinny runt, about 160 pounds, working on a ranch up in western Kansas, and I grabbed that man by the lapels and jammed him up over top of his desk and pinned him against the wall, and I said, don't you ever say, I don't know what it was. A man who never submitted to anybody sat there and just looked at me and never did again. Because he was used to being the bulldozer. This is the kind of guy he was. When he got born again, he talked with tears running down his face about how he'd slam his hand with a hammer. And he said, the words were all jumbled up in my head, but they wouldn't come out. He said, that was a miracle for me. Of course, we all know that profanity is the confession of an empty mind. You might want to write that down. The confession of an empty mind. So our renewing of the mind is a pretty good thing. All right. But here's the deal. In his innocence and in his tenderness as a new baby in his 50s, with all this going on, he fell prey once again. Why? Because abuse was all he'd known. How many of you ever watched a young lady grow up in abuse? Hear her say, I'll never, once I get free of this, I'll turn right around and marry a guy just like that. Grow up in an alcoholic home. If I can ever get free of this, I will never, never, bam, marry an alcoholic. We watch it repeated over and over again. It's the condition, the human condition, without the enlightenment of the gospel. I'm very glad for Jesus today. All right, then don't get so serious on me. I know this is heavy stuff, but it's also fun stuff. All right, hang with me. What did he do? Fall right back into major abuse. It twisted his head so bad. He dared for the first time, maybe ever, to become vulnerable. And a good old-fashioned Pentecostal holiness preacher just pulverized it into nothing. I watched that man through the years. Endo, smash, crash, all over the place till he died an alcoholic. But through those years, he was never the same, for you'd find him in secret with his Bible open and tears running and the question being asked, why? For he'd been made new, but everything outside was worse than before. Because of stinking, rotten religion. I'm so glad today for the gospel. How people need to hear about the great love of God. If my daddy-in-law Don, who I miss and love, could have known, Pat, what you know. What a blessing it is to no longer look at what a guy's doing and make an instant, harsh judgment about who he is. But to love him as if he was the purest, straightest, clear drink of water that you saw that day. And dare to let love be what breaks through. For perfect love cast out all fear. I don't know about you, but this is what is dividing churches in Chino. This is what is dividing churches in the Quad City area. You don't have time to worry about who's doing what and what they said on TV. You don't have time to be commenting until you sat down long enough to compare yourself to his righteousness and realize there ain't no way. Let's forget about everybody else. Mr. Lee Shaw, look at this and look at this. I fall way short. I always will. How I cling to great love and mercy for me, which paved the way for grace that now gives me what I never could deserve, simply on whom I have believed. Every time I get away, too many days, Brother Joseph Prince, I started a little bit ago to talk about how that he said this is the thing that's challenged. He said for me, and he said I found out for a lot of people. He said it only takes about 3 days. And I find myself in a fog, and I got to go back and remind myself. How many in here would do a little test and check yourself out? You'll find out. I find it interesting. I'm not building a doctrine, not going to write a book. It's just a thought. I find it interesting that three times the devil came back to Jesus. I find it interesting that it was 3 days he was in the grave. I find it interesting that there is this consistency, and I find it interesting that it doesn't take long in this particular area for us to get wound back into works, performance, guilt, shame. Hebrews 10 says, worshipers once purged have no more consciousness. That's your Bible, without a single twist, without a single change, messing with the translation, straight up. Worshippers once purged because of this new high priest called Jesus, who was the first to sit down because everything was done. Said, worshippers once purged should therefore no longer have any consciousness of sin. That's either wildly dangerous for the legalist, or one of the most beautiful truths that is unattainable except by faith in His grace. How many are glad for Jesus today? Oh, man. My father-in-law, what a different life he could have lived. It's beautiful, and yet it's a shame that in his dying hour, when my brother-in-law had been an EMT for 35 years, was there, and they were holding his hands and praying for him, he slipped away. And as he slipped away, he looked terrified. He's a man who never showed fear at all, none, ever. He looked terrified and was resisting and fighting, terrified. And then the monitors went, everything flatlined. And Johnny and my mother-in-law stood there with him, holding his hand, praying for him. Johnny knew what this was, and he said it was like that for a while. And he said, we didn't even know what we were doing. We were just kind of in semi. He said, we're praying. And he said, I watched my dad heave. Flatline. I'm talking about flatline. Nothing. No vital sign. Gone. Do you understand? He said, I watched his chest heave. And he pulled up his head and looked. He said, a peace came over him that overwhelmed him as he laid his head back on his pillow. And then it was all done. You tell me. I know this is heavy stuff. I'm so glad for the love of God. I'm so glad for Hebrews 13:5. Let every man be a liar and let God be true. That says He will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Romans. Now we're going to be doing over the next, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm not going to try to finish much of this morning. But we're going to be doing generally an exposition of the book of Galatians. And I believe you'll enjoy it. I want to finish a thought from earlier. Can you imagine if the body of Christ could get over this one hurdle, what it would look like? Right now, what you're thinking about and feeling, this is the heart of God. I can show it to you in Ephesians 5. Look at Romans. Isn't this exciting?
Yes.
We haven't even started yet. The landing gear isn't even up. I mean landing. What do you call it? Yeah, landing gear. We're taking off. It's still... All right. Look at Romans. Now, we're going to be spending a lot of time in Romans, but we're going to use Galatians. That's where we're going to be generally doing... Can you do expositional teaching generally? I suppose you can. We're going to. All right. Look at Romans chapter 10. You know, maybe you're fairly new to all this, and you're like, man, this is a lot of deep theological stuff. I've never, you know, listen, hang on there, because this has everything to do with your joy and your walk with God, true deliverance. I mean, there are some people that they're so broken inside, and they just run everywhere. There's a new revival, a new man, and they've had hands laid on them till they have a bald spot on their head. My Bible still says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Look at Romans chapter 10. Amen. Cool. Can you do that on cue every time? Okay. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Hebrews, literally speaking of the Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews speaking to the Hebrews, literally calls them the holy brethren. That's not Christians. He's speaking to Israel. Holy brethren. How do I know that? Because he's pleading with the hearers who he's just called holy brethren to leave this stuff and go on into Jesus. I have a question for you then. Were they in Jesus? Does that mean they're rank, lost, horrible, ungodly heathens? No. But there's a huge metamorphosis happening. There's a massive swing. And the holy brethren of Israel are choking on leaving all of this and taking one more step into perfection, Jesus himself. We'll get to that later, a couple of months from now. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Who's he talking about, people? Israel. But not according to knowledge. You think I was being judgmental? Hold the phone. He's not being judgmental. He's just calling a spade a spade. But not according to knowledge. What knowledge? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. What? Do you realize what an affront it was for Jesus? A Jew speaking to Jews, the master, the rabbi? To say, you shall know the truth. Truth, read that in reverse. You don't know squat. You shall know the truth. And that truth, you talking to us? You talking to us like that? And they did. That's why I love the way the apostles preach in the book of Acts. This Jesus whom you killed! Woo! They did. There was no seeker-friendly language there. You killed him! You! But he loves you anyway. You read the book of Acts. They pulled that card one time after another. This Jesus whom you crucified. He says, for they being ignorant of God's, verse 3, of righteousness, going about to establish. Listen, this is where most of the church is today. Establishing our own righteousness. You would think, and this is one of the deceptions of preaching the gospel. How many have said this? Man, if I could get so-and-so to hear this, if I could get such a, if I could get them, man, if they could hear the pure gospel, man, we would just be the hold up. Not necessarily. If God graces us with that, thank God and roll with it. But it didn't work that way for Jesus. It didn't work that way for the apostles. Not only that, most people, the idea of freedom scares them. It takes the Holy Spirit to make you want to be free. I know, guys, they have something broken in them. Every time they get out of prison, they're freaked out. They'll do something to get back in there. They got 3 square meals a day. Everything's taken care of. They don't have to think much. There's bars and there's doorways and men to make sure you're walking where you belong. Your schedule is set. Everything is secured to a degree. You want to live in your prison. Birds that have grown from the time they were little in a cage, you open up a cage, they don't know what to do with it. You ever let a parakeet out in your living room? They don't know where to go, what to do. And if they can get back in that cage, you'll sit there trembling and not try it again. Because freedom truly is only of God. It freaks some people out. For one, John 1:17, you might want to write that down, that states, interestingly enough, Moses gave the law. We'll just leave that alone for right now. But grace and truth came. Through the person. Law was, but grace and truth came to me through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Back to establishing our own righteousness. This is the struggle. People hear that verse, and unless you have a revelation by the Holy Spirit, to be thrown out on a sea of freedom with no shore in sight is a very scary thing. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, the compass on the inside to help you manage freedom to new lands and new experiences in God. So most people won't embrace this outside of a move of God. Do I believe there can be a move of God? Yes, I believe. How many are believing God for a move of God like that? It has happened in other areas. It can happen here. But right now we're in the throes. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Aren't you glad for our church? Amen. Aren't you glad for freedom that you can walk in on a day-to-day basis? Aren't you glad that you can enjoy life without any guilt? If you can't, you will. Life is not all about you expending every last dollar and every last breath and every last bit of energy to win one more, because that's the most. People that say that are hypocrites because they don't live like that. The same guy that will stand up there sweating and crying and making you feel horrible that you enjoy anything or buy anything for yourself, drives a Mercedes home to a multi-million dollar home, plays golf twice a week. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Shut up. I'm not condemning those guys. But we're equally as guilty. They're just enjoying it more than we are. The sad part is that they hide it because they themselves are not complete. I can't go there right now. We gotta clean this up so I can finish today. I hope you're getting as much out of this as I am. How I love this theme. For out of it emanates everything we need. The ability to be a good husband. The ability to be a godly wife. The ability to be successful in your business. The ability to receive a miracle in your body. The ability to be able to walk with your Father without one hitch of doubt. The rest of it falls way, all of this other stuff falls way short of that. Confidence in my Father. I'll never forget it. Till the day I die, I will see your face. On that boat. He says, I'm sorry. Tear streaking out. I don't mean to embarrass you or be too personal, but running out from underneath your sunglasses, as you said, for the first time in years. That has thrilled me and given me confidence. How people need to know the love of the Father. We're getting ready for a good journey. This would be a good time to invite somebody. Let's fill these seats up and go somewhere. Tell them it looks like a cult on the outside, but it's not, I promise. Just sit with me. Someday, I feel soon, we need to just get it together, believe God together, and get this thing refaced with an entrance and somewhere we can drop elderly and others off out of the rain and help it look a little bit more like what people are looking for. It would help us. But in the meantime, you can make that happen just through what you say. Amen? Amen. Verse 3. I got to find a way to wrap this up. Verse 3 of chapter 10, Romans 10. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Could it be any clearer? For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. We spent a lot of time on confession of faith. Some of you weren't here for that. Confession of faith and what it is, according to Scripture. Something that has been criticized, something that faith people are now afraid to bring up and talk about. They're always hedging and always, making disclaimers. Stop it! We're people of faith, and faith speaks, and speaking makes a difference. It's the initial seed, the spoken word of God in your mouth changes your future. Don't ever be ashamed of that. And watch your confession. Don't turn it into a legalistic thing. And don't play Holy Spirit cop and check people on there. You just mind you. Loudly. They'll catch on. You just take care of you. Now if they ask you, tell them. That's a whole other subject. They've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ, everybody in here, if you don't have a Bible, look at your neighbor's Bible or phone, underline it. Underline your neighbor's Bible. Do something. Listen, look at the next verse. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Where's that at? Why are pastors afraid to bring this up? Because they lose tithers. Money, money, money. Money, money, money. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. It is the word of faith. You thought that was a cult. Ha! It's in your Bible. This is the word of faith, which we preach here by grace. That was the adjustment, Robert. I'm very glad for Jesus today. How'd you like to be me and try to bring this to a close? All right, then cut me some slack. Here we go. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, pay your tithes, be faithful to church, am I saying you shouldn't be faithful to church? Of course you should. Won't change God, but it could change you. But it has nothing to do with your salvation, whether I like it or not. As a pastor, I don't like it. I work hard. I prepare hard. I've got people in my heart. I see things. And then I come here loaded for bear. And the very ones that I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to lift that day are gone. You battle through that and do the best you can. An improper sense of grace has made us very flaky people. But flaky or not, He loves us. Now we need to get unflaky, it'll help us. But it doesn't change how much He loves you and how sure and complete your salvation is. No, I'm not. I don't know anybody. I'm not remembering anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. And I didn't say that because you're here. I'm not even, I promise, before God. Just if the shoe fits, wear it. Here we go. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, that's it. Thou shalt be saved, period. That's it. Done. Finito. Completo. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For there is no difference. I've had people come in here, receive tears running down their face recently, and great things happening, but we stumbled right here. I don't believe in replacement theology. We did not replace the Jews. I do not believe in a dual covenant. You may not be aware of what that is, but I do not believe that God deals with them in one covenant and us with another. I believe there is an option. Jew. Gentile, body of Christ. No replacement, no dual covenant. One in Him through the same door. Where did I get that from? Your Bible. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all. Whew, I can't take it right now. I'm serious. Rich unto all. Now see, if you bring somebody and I do that, you're going to have to be a friend. Take them out to eat and say, it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't get much worse than that. Come back. Only you can do that. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. I'm trying to restrain. This is the gospel. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Amen, Pastor Lee. You better get busy. We're paying for you to do this stuff, and you better get her done. Amen. Feels good here. No wonder you get sleepy. You are the preacher. Problem is if you've embraced a blended gospel, there's always a furrow in your brow. It looks a little like this. Oh, that's true, I hope. Oh, I just saw it. He loves me. I'm mostly sure of that. Well, who do they think they are to judge me? I hate that old fool. He's always judged. I can tell by the way he looks at me. He's... When religion is blended, we become critics, cynics. We will justify demonic behavior. Because we haven't been recognized or appreciated. Because we're searching for someone else to fill only something he fills. You can't buy it. You can't exchange stuff for it. Death reigned by one. But for those who... I don't know how, but I receive abundance of grace and a gift of righteousness. Could this be true? Hope rising. With hope, confidence, is it possible? Hope rises to confidence, which reaches into a realm of faith, which begins to call those things which be not last week as though they were. I hope you're getting this. I'm not sure I am, so that's not a condescending remark to, hey, you little stupids, listen to me. I'm saying together, this stuff is huge. Behold what manner of love the Father has tossed at you. No, bestowed. Oh, for another hour. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful on the feet of them that preach. Get ready. Get ready. We'll end here. The Lord's bailing me out right now. Found a place to quit. Here it is. Listen. How beautiful are the feet of them. This is Isaiah 52. Getting ready to announce prophetically our Jesus. How beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace. Good news. And bring glad tidings of good things. Mary Lou, if it doesn't bring peace, if it's not glad tidings of good things, it's a blended gospel. I'm just figuring that out. I've said that before, but I'm just figuring that out. I used to be afraid to say that. So that means nobody should ever feel bad. We're going to talk about godly sorrow versus condemnation. You can have godly sorrow and be jumping up and down and rejoicing in your God at the same time if you get a hold of this stuff. How He loves us. If it's not good news, it's not the gospel. You heard me say it. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed the report? 17. So then faith, and this is what we're going to be doing over the next few months. So then faith to believe this great gospel comes to us in buckets called words. Now faith. Isn't that amazing? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When the gospel is preached, it ought to bring peace, and it ought to be good news. Can you say amen? Amen. Have you enjoyed this morning as much as I have? Come on. Hallelujah. This is going to be, I think, one of the most important journeys for our body. In a long time. I understand we have family, we have events. Please, I don't mean anybody to feel condemned when you're not here. But don't miss any more than you have to. Catch up with either the CDs or the audio. Don't sit at home on your couch and listen to the audio. It's not the same. As you've heard me say before, that's like listening to somebody else take a shower. Just go ahead and get in the shower yourself. Let the Word of God do what it does. Have you been encouraged today? Have you been strengthened in Jesus? I know everybody in here today. I'm not real super happy about that, but that's the way it is. So I'm just going to remain up here. I'm going to dismiss you as we stand together. Pronounce a blessing on you in Jesus' name. We'll remain up here to pray. If you're not born again, if you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, if you need prayer for your body on any level, there will be some people that will join with me. We will pray with you as we dismiss. But right now, let's stand together. You got something to take home with you today? Huh? Let's lift our hands all over the room today. Would you say with me, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. For oh so great. Come on, say it, oh so great. A righteousness that is mine by faith. Hallelujah. Not of works. I can't boast on any level. But by your grace. How we love you back today. Father, I thank you for a supernatural grace upon your people this week. A supernatural wisdom as they receive that just begins to unfold and bring back to remembrance. Sitting there at a workbench, a single word from this message or another one similar that brings this to light. Sitting there at a desk or back up in a construction site or wherever they may be, out in the back country, horseback, wherever, whatever, however that works, that revelation from glory to glory, Father, we thank you, it begins to glow. And Father, we ask you, come on, people of God, would you pray with me? We ask you that this light would shine further than just our church. We ask you today for the heathen of Chino Valley, for we know you don't consider them that way, but that's what they see. Father, we ask you today for those that are lost and hurting and dying. Father, we ask you today that you would help us to be so ramped up about how great you are in this life that we won't have to get preachy and condescending. Just the fact that we are loving life and loving God and loving one another so much, somebody says, what the heck is that? I want it. The other stuff isn't working too well, but that's always worked. And it's coming to the front again. Let's be his hands. Let's be his feet. Father, thank you for a blessing upon your people today, a supernatural grace as they go, a wonderful, prosperous week. Come on, can you believe, can you say that with me? Say thank you, Lord, for a prosperous week in every way because of your goodness for me. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen. If you want to hang around and worship,